News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Ireland is facing at least €8.2 billion in climate fines if it misses its 2030 targets, according to Mary Donnelly, who's the chair of the Climate Advisory Council. Oisin Coughlan is the chief executive of Friends of the Earth. He's with us this morning. Good morning, Oisin.
Morning, Jonathan.
Do we just kind of give the money over now? Because we sure as hell aren't going to make those targets the way we're going.
No, I mean, this is a new figure from Mary Donnelly. We knew that this was a risk, obviously, because while we've made some progress, emissions came down by 7% last year, that it wasn't enough of a trend yet. We're not on track to actually meet our national targets that are in our own law now, are the ones we've agreed with our European partners. So it looks like the council has done some more maths, and they more maths than the Department of Public Expenditure has released, at least, to come up with this figure of 8 billion. But I think two key things for me from this. One is it shows we need to redouble our efforts. We've made a start, but it's just a start. And obviously the more work we do in Ireland to reduce our emissions, the less fines we have to pay. But the main thing really for me, which is related to that, is it's much better to spend this money now, to answer your question, in Ireland on things that will make life better for people in Ireland rather than pay it out to overseas companies or investors or credit holders in order to pay off the fines for not meeting their targets.
Just to take one simple example, Oisin, the retrofitting scheme that is currently underway around the country, and I know from experience of a family member who has had it done to the house, why are we not spending more state money on that? Because that is a guaranteed way to address climate change. Equally, why are we taking grants away from electric vehicles at a time when their sales are falling, when we should be adding more to it? I mean, are we just doing the usual thing here in Ireland of investing in the wrong places, and as a result, we're going to get caught on the far side where the real loser will be the taxpayer?
So we definitely need, I mean, I agree with the two things you mentioned. I think it's not for me to explain why the state did what it did. I guess there's the usual caution of spending things. I think they thought the EV sales were going to take off on their own. And I'll come back to that in a second. And I think the only other constraint, I mean, I think we should invest more, and the council has said how we should do it in retrofitting. But the constraint, of course, there is also labour. So there is a balance to be struck there. But for example, the Climate Change Advisory Council, in its own report on housing, said that we should increase the target for social housing, because basically we need to look at the things where we can organise it collectively, like to get a bigger bang for our buck and to do more together with big contracts for retrofitting. So, for example, county councils are in charge of social housing. So the government, I think, is at the moment only aiming to do maybe somewhere between a third and 40% of social houses for retrofitting before 2030. The Climate Change Advisory Council has said, let's make that 70%. Let's do what's under our control. But equally, we need, they say, to look at area-based schemes in the states. So you don't just leave it to individuals who are kind of organizing themselves with busy lives to find the finance. You actually go in and offer an area-based scheme to a county, to a housing estate that might have a mix of social and private housing, which you allow the private houses join in with the collective scheme that the council is doing for social houses. So you just look for ways to get a bigger bang for your buck or to increase the scale.
Well, if you're on site, it's going to be cheaper. But then you look at something like district heating, which we have a very limited example in this country.
Yes.
There's only one project in Talla that we could look to have district heating. I've said this on the programme before, looking down at Ringsend, at the steam that is coming out and being wasted from that waste facility there that could easily be heating homes in that area. We are so far behind on that and no effort being made whatsoever to get it turned around by 2030.
No, absolutely. District heating could be a game changer. There is work going on. We keep being told this by the department. It has not got its
We just haven't heard about it because the kids go to another school. It's very frustrating.
But it hasn't been published. I mean, it hasn't been published. And I know we'll be pressing the government who have been supposedly developing these plans to get them out there this autumn before the general election and to actually make them real, because I think it could be a game changer. It'll take a lot of work and I think a bit of a cultural shift and a bit of sales by the state to show how district heating can make a difference. But for example, I want to come on to the EVs. Same is true for heat pumps. Basically, EVs and heat pumps should subsidies should be targeted for those in rural areas who have less access to district heating, less access to public transport. And you saw actually recently Richard Bruton, the outgoing Fine Gael TD, who was the Minister for Energy, saying we need to actually target the subsidies for EVs at rural areas where they aren't being taken up, and where they don't have access to public transport or to cycling and walking infrastructure in the same way. So we need to be a bit more innovative and inventive and be a bit more willing to sort of break things, to use that phrase, to try things, including upping the subsidies and actually doing it more differentially, not just loading it all on. And as it happens too often, you know, too many people in middle class areas in Dublin are hoovering up the subsidies for electric cars and heat pumps when actually they would be better used in other places, other parts of the country, with a lot more effort to sell it by government.
So we have to geographically target this more. Bear in mind that the people in rural Ireland feel they're at the sharp end of anything here because of the impact that these policies are having on farming. So is that a way of winning over rural Ireland, is by giving them some things that perhaps urban Ireland doesn't get?
Well, I mean, you do it based on what makes sense. But yes, when you do it like that, it can have a differential and like appealing impacts. We've said for a while we should be targeting those subsidies that for EVs at rural Ireland, and having congestion charges in Dublin on the canals where there is better access to public transport in order to free up more road space. And obviously that would be a very clear signal that, you know, sometimes people in rural Ireland are going to benefit more from this and more directly from this. Obviously, freeing up road space for everybody, the congestion charges like in London and Paris in the end, benefit everybody, but they're not a popular policy. But we do need to look at agriculture as well, because agriculture is a growing share of our emissions. And while they did make progress last year, it was a 5% reduction in agricultural pollution for climate in 2023. It's off target too. Not worse than other sectors, but it is off target. Okay. And where there hasn't been progress yet is looking at diversifying away from primarily intensive beef and dairy. And that needs to be done in the next 5 years.
Oisin Coughlan and Friends of the Earth, thanks for joining us on News Talk Breakfast.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.